and welcome to episode 157 of Fly Away,
a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. We're glad you're joining us this week. Our goal is to inform, educate, and inspire. We hope that tuning in for our weekly chats will help push you outside of your comfort zone and add some new experiences to your bucket list. We also welcome ideas for topics, so if there is something you'd like to hear more about, let us know. My name is Elizabeth, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Sandy, Donna, and Laura. Our special guest Heidi will join us as well to tell us all about her recent Italian adventure. Yay, Heidi!
Yay!
The Italian Riviera is not short of rugged coastline or romantic towns and villages, but the five fishing communities of the Cinque Terre are its most iconic highlight. The villages are no longer the isolated hamlets they once were, but there's still a feeling of remote authenticity with few roads, perfectly preserved architecture, and a network of stunning coastal and mountain trails. Cinque Terre, which means five lands in Italian, comprise the five small coastal villages of Rio Maggiore, Manarola, Corniglia, Vernazza, and Monterosso, located in the Italian region of Liguria. And I'm so sorry if I mispronounced anything.
No, I think you did really good.
You nailed it.
Well, Sandy, you don't speak Italian.
Sounds good to me.
Sounds right to me.
Say that with your hands.
That's right.
Yes.
Sounds good to me.
They are listed on the UNESCO World Heritage List. These are the types of villages to take in slowly, whether by trail, boat, or train, and all the villages are known for their beauty. You probably recognize them from travel photos and ads. We have lots of questions, so let's get started. First, trails and hiking, you mentioned. Nice and flat, right?
Easy hikes.
It's super flat, says nobody ever.
Said the mountain goats that live here.
I have never had such a steep walk up with luggage in my life. Oh, I've never been so happy to have a light bag. It was straight up. And the view was worth it once you got to the top. But, yeah, there's tons of hiking trails. It's all national park. You buy a ticket for the day, and that allows you to go to use the trails. Some of the trails are free, but if you want to get up into some of the more extensive trails that really go from village to village, you have to buy a pass. I think it's around 15 euros for the day. Or you can do it by train, which is what we did because we're lazy. Or you can do it by
my kind of hiking.
Yeah.
My kind of hiking from the train station up to the town to the bar.
Or you can do it by boat. I thought it was a little pricey. It's a 33 euro a day ticket to go for a day pass to use the boat. The boat was incredibly crowded, too.
The boat can't take you way up, though, can it?
No, ma'am.
It takes you to the lowest point.
I'm assuming practically.
Yeah, and if it's rough, there's a gangplank, and you actually see the gangplank going up and down, and they're, like, helping people up on the gangplank. And
I was like,
I can't do that. Yeah. So I kind of get seasick, and both my husband and I do, so we looked at that, and the day that they actually stopped running the boats because it was too rough, I said, yeah, I know the train is going to be much
yeah,
easier.
Yeah, so you said, when you said boat, I thought that sounded nice until you said it was crowded.
Yeah. So I have to say, this is the most crowded place I've ever been in my life.
Have you been to Disney?
Yes, it's comparable to Disney on a holiday. When the tour groups come in the early morning and the late afternoon, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. When the groups leave, it's beautiful. It's just the people that are staying there.
Yeah.
And it's lovely. But during the mid-afternoon, I mean, there were a couple times when we went to one of the islands, I think it was Vernazza, and we were way up on the top, let's say at a fort or something, taking pictures for an hour wandering around, and we came back down to the main street, and I didn't even recognize it. The same main street where I had sat when we got there and ate a banana or something, you couldn't even see the sidewalk.
And there's lots of day trips that come in from the cruise ships, but also from, you know, people who are staying in Rome or in Florence or wherever, and they'll take a day trip out.
Tons of big groups of people. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a negative. That was a real big negative for me. However, that would not turn me off from going because the beauty is enough to make you weep.
Yeah, your picture from your room was really good.
It was incredible. The beauty was just amazing. And that's the other thing, too, just as agents. There aren't a lot of hotels there. Most of them are guest houses or rooms in people's houses. Monterosso has the most number of hotels because Monterosso is the most unvillagey, like there's a new village and an old village. It feels more like a real town. But the other villages, very few hotels. It's just you rent a room from a guy that happens to have five or six rooms. We rented a room from a guy named Maurizio. He had a place called Aria de Mare, which means song of the sea. Song you're singing by the time you get to the top of the day. And he had a little plot of land. all the locals have like a little plot of land that's been handed down to them, and they grow grapes or whatever they want. So all the hillsides are terraced. So every day he'd bring us like a big handful of grapes.
It's a place where you could do some agritourism there too. You can stay and actually work the land a little bit if you want to.
Yeah, that's a lot of hiking.
I had some people
who were interested in going there.
Oh my god!
And they were looking in like May for like summer. And when I called our vendor, they were like,
No. How about a day trip?
Yeah, how about a day trip?
Yeah, and I had a last minute client go to Rome last summer, and she was booking it about a week ahead. And that was, you know, she was like, I really want to go. I said, well, you can, but we're going to have to do a day trip. You can't possibly stay there.
Yeah.
So she did all of her, everything from Rome for that day. Cause it does, it becomes really difficult, even in like Florence. And I mean, if you want to stay anywhere smaller than Rome, you get in the summer, you need to sort of book it ahead. So
it's crazy. Actually, this solidified for me that I don't think I'll ever go to Europe again in the summer, because I like the off season so much better, because this was just so crowded.
And you were there in the summer.
Yeah, late summer.
But the weather was perfect when we were there. I mean, it was hot and sunny and just gorgeous. We did not have one day of rain. Meanwhile, my friend who left a few days after I did arrived in Italy had an earthquake, a mudslide,
and
4 days of torrential rain. So we really lucked out.
So let that be a lesson to you, internets. Travel with Heidi.
Where is Heidi going?
Yeah. It's good weather luck. But Laura, I have to say, I thought of you a lot, because it is really not accessible. The village of Monte Rosa would be the most accessible for someone who's disabled, because it's more of a modern town. But these other villages, not only is it not accessible, but the trains are so old that there's like a 3-foot gap between the step on the train and the platform.
Oh, wow.
So you have to be able to haul yourself up on the platform and quickly with all those people.
Yeah.
So, wow. You know, it's funny, because Rick Steves put this whole area on the map, and even he today says, you know what? I don't know if I did a good thing or a bad thing, because there's so much tourism.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably changed the nature of the area, but it's still so amazingly beautiful. And I didn't think it felt rippy-offy or anything. I mean, I thought that the prices for the meals were well-priced. The food was, you know, decent for a tourist area. A lot of seafood, freshly caught. I mean, my husband asked for a fish at this place, and they brought him the fish.
Yeah.
And now does this one look at you? It looks good. It's great.
So I want to ask back up just a little bit, because you were talking about the hiking trails and the tickets. And I've had people ask me, do I really need the tickets? Who checks it? I don't know. So how does that work? Like, is there a ticket taker at the foot of these hikes, or are there park rangers?
There are.
Or like train conductors who ask?
Yeah, there are park rangers, at least at the trailheads of the biggest trails that I saw. We're standing there and checking people's tickets. I'm sure there's others. We were on trails because we were up and around. Nobody asked us. We were not hiking by any stretch of the imagination. The guy that owned the guest house told us where to go and said, go over here and go over there. And that was, I'm terrified of heights. That was enough for me. Some of the trails are very steep. Some of them have sheer drop-offs.
Yeah.
You know, they're not marked well. I actually had a friend whose daughter went, and they got lost for 3 hours between the two villages. So, you know, you need a good map, I think. You need to be prepared.
And a compass.
Yeah.
Not just
you need to be prepared. Not just like, gee, I'm going to go hike this trail.
Right.
You need a map. You need water. You need to treat it seriously, because when you're up there's not going
to
be.
I've read so many of these stories. When I went to Yosemite, I subscribed to their like search and rescue Facebook page. And there were stories of people who would go hiking with their cell phone as their compass, and the cell phone would die, you know, and then they would like find water. So they would follow the water thinking they were going back down towards the campsites, and then they'd come to a cliff, you know, and it was just,
whoops.
Exactly. I know. It's funny, because you feel, I think people just have this feeling that they're going to be safe. Like, oh, surely the city has taken precautions and there will be a railing.
Mm-hmm. And oh my God, in other countries, you cannot count on that. I mean,
you can't count on in Yosemite.
Yeah. But I mean, I think in the U.S., we're used to a certain standard in a lot of places that we know that there's going to be accessibility in most situations. Yeah. If not, they're going to tell you off the bat that there isn't.
Right.
This is different. This is very different from France, I think. You know, Italy just is not as manicured. It's not as, I love Italy. I love it much more than France, because it's not manicured. Mm-hmm. It's a little crazy. It's a little chaotic. There's a definite personality there that is, you know, while these cities are very touristy, or these towns are really touristed, they're not manicured. You know, we were talking peeling paint and things. Mm-hmm. That's what gives it the beauty, though, I think, the personality.
Yeah, a lot of the beauty in Europe is the age, right? Mm-hmm. You know, just thinking about how old these places are and how long people have been living there. This land's been handed down for generations.
Yeah.
And
they take care of it. Mm-hmm. They take care of their history. They actually embrace it. They don't rip it down like we do in this country and start over from scratch.
True.
They build up.
Mm-hmm. And build on to and
serve. Yeah. Especially in Italy.
That's true. So how did you get there? Because most people do take day trips. You know, it is much more unusual to actually stay there. So how did you actually get there?
We took a train from Nice. It took 5 hours.
Well, that's not long at all.
No, it isn't. And we were just commenting, you know, like a 5-hour train trip feels so much shorter than flying anywhere. Just because there's no
stand up and
there's no security. You just get on the train. The train pulls up and you get on it. And actually, when we did cross the border, there was a slight stop and they did come through actually this time. And they actually did this time, but randomly. They looked at us and they just kept going. They checked the guy behind us. But they announced that there was going to be a 20-minute delay because they were going to be checking people's passports. But it doesn't feel as tiring somehow. I don't know why. You know, you get off the train 5 hours later and it's like, I'm not exhausted like as if I'd flown to Pittsburgh. even if it's direct, you know, going through security and just everything, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the train was actually very reasonable. It was easy to do. Went through Genoa, which looks like an interesting place.
Did you have to change trains there?
We had to change trains twice. Okay. We had to change trains in Genoa and then in a little town called La Spezia, which is north of the Cinque Terre. Seems to be like an area where a lot of the trains come in.
Yep.
Yeah. So we were there for 3 nights. I think it was a perfect amount of time. We went to each village. You could do it in one
just
day.
Enough time to recover from walking up the water bag.
And then you say your plan was to do laundry there. But
No, I wasn't hauling. Matter of fact, he said, I have some wine, you know, all I have is red. €7 a bottle. I'm like, take it. I'm not walking down there. Walking down the hill to get a bottle of wine and bring it back up.
Yeah.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, and you did a video of your husband, and there's like no railings and nothing, you know.
And it's a steep staircase. I mean, it wasn't a gradual increase.
No,
you might as well be climbing. You can sort of almost.
But it's totally doable. I mean, I'm making it sound like scary and everything, but it isn't. It's doable. Right.
Did you find out there was an elevator later?
No. We found a shortcut. Back up the hill. A little bit of a shortcut. Yeah. For me, it was easier to do the stairs than to do just an incline. Mm-hmm. An incline to me just seemed like endless. Mm-hmm. You know, like you look up and it's like, I gotta get
you
off.
You need hiking poles and stuff.
Oh yeah. The Germans in the hiking poles, even on pavement. They're doing the hiking pole thing. I thought that was interesting.
That's cool. Get me
up this hill. They're known for one specific type of pasta that they make, and pesto is this is where pesto originated. So so there's tons of pesto. There's wines from those terraced vineyards. Nothing fine wine, but just very drinkable kind of table wine. All in all, I think it'd be a really great place to go and for a few days, you know, 4 or 5 days, and just relax and take your time going through the villages. Each one has a very distinct personality.
Which village did you stay in?
Manarola. And it doesn't have a beach. The only real beach is Monterosso, the one that's more like a little real town. Mm-hmm. Farnazza's kind of like the supermodel, the pretty one. Really crowded. Mm-hmm. Cornelia, oh my God, is up on top of another hill. So when you take the train, you have to take a van when you get off the train to get to the village of Cornelia. And it's straight up. I mean, it's just switchbacks all the way up. Mm-hmm. And Rio Maggiore is more of a workaday type of town. Very pretty harbor, but it's where you're going to find more of your stuff you need to do every day. Manarola and Cornelia and Bernazza are more of the pretty kind of touristy villages.
Is it a place where you could rent a car and
go
there?
Okay. No, there's no place.
I'm saying like rent a car and drive there, not rent a car there.
I wouldn't even, because you would have to park way up on top of where the highway is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know how you would get down. I don't know if they have,
cars driving around?
No, there's only a couple of like maybe little truck type things that they must share.
Service vehicles.
The most amazing thing I saw was there's this bar out on the cliff in Manarola, and to stock the bar and the restaurant, they have a hand truck.
Wow.
And they're dragging cases of wine on a hand truck up and down those same stairs that you saw in the video.
Oh, my goodness.
So, like, It's all done by hand.
Wow.
And to get the boats up and down, they have like these winches that lower the boats down into the ocean. I mean, it's like living, it's like being a goat. These people were so fit, though.
I've
never seen fitness.
So it really
like
is like being a goat. You can eat whatever you want all day long, and you just stay completely
It was
amazing.
Fit. Amazing. I don't know how. I mean, I know how they do it because they're walking around on those cliffs.
That's a cool lifestyle, though. Yeah. You know, like I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. I would recommend. Do you get requests for that area as travel agents?
Yeah. But not to stay. Well, they want to see it.
Yeah.
If they can stay there, that's great. But usually it's just not really possible for exactly the reasons you said. Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't, and that's as travel agents, we're not in the business of renting rooms to you because we never know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm glad that you did really well in that situation, but you know, we have no idea.
No, you have no idea.
What you're going to get. And so we can't really stand by that as a product. So, the people that I've sent to that area, have been usually day trips. Mm-hmm. I have quoted some trips. I think G Adventures goes there, although actually that might be Southern Italy now that I think about it. But definitely some tours that would go through there, escorted tours that would go through there. Mm-hmm. But then most other people do day trips.
Yeah. I think you could easily, if anybody ever wanted it, you could easily quote some of the hotels in Monte Rosa. Mm-hmm. I actually liked Monte Rosa because it wasn't so hilly. My husband didn't, he was like, he liked the hilly. He was like, mm-hmm. So what? The view is spectacular. And I was like, yeah, but that, you know, it's, mm-hmm. it's really tiring that journey. It was
well, the nice thing is because it's so small, you can stay in any one of those
it didn't matter.
Villages and then you can
take
see
the
them all. Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, I think too, I just haven't had a lot of opportunity to book that far in advance. For people. So the people who want to go see it tend to also be, interestingly enough, older. So that's sort of on the bucket list of my, you know, the empty nesters and the retired set. Whereas when you're taking the kids to Italy, we're going to go hold the Tower of Pisa up and we're going to go see the Colosseum. And, you know, so it's not as...
To give you an idea of how touristed this was, the day that we decided we were going to go and do the beach day, and we actually went to Pisa instead of going to another town in the Cinque Terre. Because it
was less crowded.
It was less crowded.
Wow.
And we had only seen the tower before at night and in the rain. Mm-hmm. So we said, you know, it's really easy. It's like an hour and 20-minute train ride. Let's just get on the train and go. And it was great. It was a perfect thing for us to do. And then by the time we got back, everybody had cleared out. All the groups had cleared out. And we just sat down and had dinner. And it was perfect.
It sounds like the type of place that if you want to go, you need to go before you can't go. You know, like with all
right, because of the physical. Because
I'm thinking about like my parents. Not that they ever said
I
they wanted to go.
I still think
there
were quite a few older people, and I think you're right. Like Rick Steves readers.
Yes.
These are people that are reading. He's the one who really put this out there.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if you have to be fit because.
A lot of
the tour groups weren't going.
Yeah, they don't do that.
They don't.
They just go on the
they
train.
They get off the train, and then they a few steps up to like a plaza or a central area of whatever the town is, and then they look up and around. They may go up a little bit, but they're not walking to the top of the hill to stay in a hotel.
Right.
So I actually do think if you can get on and off the train, then it actually would be pretty accessible. That area is really accessible.
So do you have any recommendations for preparing for this trip? Like, is there anything that you should be aware
good
of?
Good shoes.
Yeah.
Right. Trying to do some altitude. Yeah.
and also, along that, is it blustery up there? Is it windy?
No.
Or is it, okay.
No, it was beautiful.
Because sometimes you're up that high.
No, it was beautiful.
Okay.
It was chilly at night, till you just had a small sweater on, and it was very clear. There's no humidity at that time of the year, so the stars were all out. And
Oh, nice. Yeah,
it was just perfect weather. It's very casual. If you wear anything more than shorts or a skirt, you would stick out.
That's
it's super
perfect.
Casual. Yeah,
it's not beachy.
You can wear your active wear.
I know, bathing suit. Although that naked man that I saw.
Yeah. I know. I saw that picture.
Oh, wait,
maybe that should be our podcast picture.
You have to tell that story.
Yeah.
Now
that was really funny. So we were in Rio Maggiore. My husband's taking pictures and I see this really buff guy and he's naked, like in the square. He's naked. And by the time I picked up my camera to take a picture, he put his underwear on. But he had gone for a swim, and he was just changing his clothes. And then when I looked at the picture afterwards, I see my husband in the distance, and he's looking right at him, and he never saw him. And we saw it again with a woman who did it in another village. She had gone for a swim, and she just kind of dripped down, not fully, but top first, and did that, took the bathing suit top off, put her shirt on, and then did the bottom. Nobody even blinked, you know? Yeah. It just was what it was. But it's very casual. Even at night eating, it's super casual. A lot of outside eating.
Well, if you had to walk all the way up that hill to change your clothes, wouldn't you just strip them off?
Maybe. I told my husband I was going up and down once a day. That was it. Because it really was.
They're like, the heck with walking into the house. Everybody's seen it. Everybody's got one. I'm getting
ready. Well, a lot of people dive off the rocks there into the water because in Manarola there's no beach. So
that makes me crazy.
Yeah. In Vernazza there's a little beach. And Monte Rosa had a very beautiful beach with chairs and umbrellas, like an actual beach. If I were to go back, I would stay there.
So if they dive off the cliff, then they have to walk all the way back up.
There are little stairs that are like attached to the rock.
Just like,
are you seeing a theme here?
It's already unappealing to jump off a cliff, and then you tell me, if I survive that, I have to climb all the way back up.
No. Well, it's not a cliff. It's just a rock, but I'm sure there are.
There's no gold gyms or personal trainers. Yeah.
I did not see one gym, Laura. Not one gym. I'm honest to God, anywhere I went, I did not see a gym. And they walk around like supermodels, you know, because they've got a dietary thing going on. I think maybe some genetics. Some exercise for sure.
Yeah, it sounds like a perfect storm.
They certainly eat sweets. I mean, it's not like that doesn't happen, but they don't. And it's all natural food and so nice.
I've never had tomatoes in my life anywhere like I have in Italy. Like, to get a bruschetta, it's just perfect. It's just bread and tomato, a little pesto, a little cheese on it. And the tomatoes are like bright red and juicy, and they taste like tomatoes. It tastes like tomatoes as red used to taste.
That was another thing I noticed when I was in Italy. I mean, it just takes... things taste better.
Mm-hmm. And it's so simple, like just simple pasta with really good olive oil and a little bit of cheese, or just simple food, nothing fancy at all. The wine's very simple. The food, just fresh. I could eat like that 24/7.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's something to be said for places like that can grow so much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I've said it about California before too, you know, not to do the whole comparison thing, but places like Italy and like California, they can grow so much within like 2 hours of anywhere. Mm-hmm. So your food is not traveling very far, and you know, you can get almost everything right there. Mm-hmm. So with few exceptions, and just having it right there.
Yeah.
So easily, you know, it's so fresh.
It's kind of how food is supposed to be.
Yeah.
Right. It's like food used to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is what it struck me. Like going back to like the 60s or something where food was food.
And we didn't throw away so much because it was, you know, you'd go buy strawberries.
And I didn't think the food was expensive either. I mean, I didn't think it was any more expensive than what you would pay to eat here in the States. And it was quality wise, it was just so much better. And I didn't gain 1 pound.
Because you were walking up this.
Right.
You were walking it all up.
That's right. And we were eating pasta sometimes twice a day. And I have a propensity to gain easily. And that shows you how much we must have been burning.
Yeah.
You know, just walking around.
And if you eat, like, the whole food kind of thing, you know, like...
Well, we were eating a lot of tiramisu.
I mean, I'd be drinking the beer and the wine.
Yeah, by pure food, you do mean coffee, right?
Ice cream, right? Made with cream. Yeah, but even that stuff is, like, the good ingredients. Yeah. It's still good.
Yeah. Italy is like a feast for the senses, if you haven't been. It's like, it's just it's unpredictable, it's exuberant, it's chaotic. It kind of reminds me of Mexico in a weird way.
You can see that.
But with better food and better wine.
Yeah.
So the language, did you have any issues at all with...
No, we actually feel really at home there because of this, we both speak Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
So... we can't really speak much, but we can read everything and we can pretty much understand what they say.
Yeah.
I just can't say a lot.
I've actually seen many conversations in Italy, actually all over, but if an Italian and a Spaniard meet, they will, like, the Spaniard will speak Spanish and the Italian will speak Italian. They won't try to speak each other's languages, and they can pick up enough from each other that they know.
In northern Italy, especially up towards Venice, in that area, even towards Milan, there's something about the accent that makes the words sound very similar. We had no problem. And where we were in the Cinque Terre, it was a little harder. It's a little more of a little bit of a different. Actually, each village has its own accent, its own dialect. They can tell each other apart which village they're from.
That's interesting.
I can see that.
Because those villages were so isolated for so long. Mm-hmm. Until these trails were built, you know, and there was no train. I mean, these trains are tunneled out of rocks. You go through just black tunnels, and then you emerge, and it's crystal clear blue and mountains, and then you're in a tunnel again in the tunnel. With some of these stations, you get off in the tunnel. And it's a little disconcerting because you think, I'm not going to get off in a tunnel. Is this really a stop? But it is. You get off in the middle of the tunnel because the platform is a little shorter.
That's really neat.
It's a cool adventure.
Yeah, I definitely have to go there. It's definitely on my list.
I'll go with you.
All right. Let's go. Well, that is our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com. Then click podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/outlanderpodcast or just search for Fly Away. And be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes. Huge thanks to Heidi for joining us this week. On behalf of Sandy, Donna, Laura, and myself, Elizabeth, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly!